Father, I thank you, Lord, for this morning. Again, we are so grateful to be in the land of the living. Praise the Lord. We thank you for answered prayers. We thank you for your mercies. Thank you for your goodness. As we approach the word of God, Lord, we declare that the entrance of your word brings light and gives understanding to the simple. We also declare that the word of the Lord is not bound, but the word of the Lord must prevail. Hallelujah. Thank you, Jesus. Let it prevail in our hearts and our minds this morning. In Jesus' name. Amen and amen. Well, we are in our epic series, and this is part two of the epic series. If you missed part one, you have to listen to it from yesterday. The E is for engage. And we talked about the rules of engagement yesterday. Today, the P is for push. And we are going to talk about, and you know, I've alluded to this and touched on this here and at the church, but I want to put it all in one series. That's why I'm doing it this way. The P is for push. And that means we're going to push old limits to new horizons. We're going to push old limits to get new territories. So pushing old limits to new horizons. That's what I want to talk about today. And then later on, we'll get to the I, and also we'll get to the C. You want to be here for each of those lessons as we deliver them by the grace of God. All right. Well, let's see how we can push old limits to new horizons. You know, so the first thing that we want to talk about is the word. This is the word of the Lord, you know, for us this year, you know, that he wants us, you know, to have these victories. And in order for us to have these victories, we're going to have to understand the steps we need to take. You know, so the Lord's talked to us about the prophetic repair series. We did that. Now we're doing the epic series. Now let's define a limit or limits. You know, according to the dictionary, it says a limit is either a point or a level beyond which something does not or may not extend or pass. So, you know, that's interesting. A point or level beyond which something does not or may not extend or pass. Another definition says, you know, it is a restriction on the size or amount of something permissible or possible. I actually like that one. You know, it's a restriction. A limit is a restriction on the size of what's possible. That's a limit. So, I said, wow, dictionary can define this way. This is really great. You know, so, you know, that's what we want to do now and talk about. You know, sometimes we have put arbitrary limits on ourselves. You know, I mean, with God, all things are possible, but somehow we limit God. And, you know, to him that believes, all things are also possible. And sometimes we limit ourselves. You know, we just put these limits on ourselves. You know, but the Holy Spirit is challenging us to push those old limits out to new horizons. You know, so that's a limit. But let's talk about horizon, because these are the two key words, that are in this subject today. So let's look at, you know, horizon. I mean, what is horizon? Well, I mean, naturally, I think everybody knows that the horizon is kind of that line or imaginary line, you know, that where it appears, you know, as if the sky meets the ground, especially your line of sight. Now, if you have buildings and so forth and trees in front of you, you won't even see that horizon. But if you are out in the open, you know, then you may be able to see it. Let's say you are out in the desert or you are out in the ocean or something. Here's how dictionary again talks about that. It says the line at which the earth's surface and the sky appear to meet. So that's the horizon. That's the one that all of us, you know, if you ask anybody horizon, you know, everybody can think about that. There's that kind of line, you know, it looks as if the sky and the earth meets there. Well, it doesn't really meet, but that's what it looks like, you know, because of the curvature of the earth and the curvature of our sight somehow, you know, now, or the line of our sight. But here's another definition, and I like this one. It says, it's the limit of a person's mental perception, experience, or interest. You know, so again, it's a limit of our mental perception. It's kind of like, you know, the same thing about limit, which we just talked about. It's interesting that the definition of horizon, one definition for horizon, would actually use the word limit in that definition. That's interesting. Because those are the two key words that we're looking about. I'm looking into today. And this one actually says, you know, horizon could be the limit of a person's mental perception. I can say vision. I actually also say, you know, faith, you know, anything that we put a limit on. Well, that's the extent of that horizon. Praise the Lord. So that's what we want to talk about. The other key thing, three key words in here. The other key thing is push. You know, push. There is a concerted effort that must be placed into this thing on our part. You know, we've got to do something about it. You know, first of all, there are some things we need to do to even see the natural horizon. Right? Where I am sitting right now, I can't see the horizon. Because I'm in a room and I'm blocked by these walls. And if I go out to my front yard, I won't still see the horizon because, you know, all the houses on the other side of the street are blocking my view. In fact, you know, anywhere in this neighborhood, I don't think I can see the horizon because there's all these houses and everything. You know, so that's one thing. There are certain things that may be blocking our vision. That's number one. You have to, you know, extract yourself from that situation or remove yourself from that situation. Put yourself somewhere else, you know, in order for you to be able to even see the horizon to start with. So let's say I clear out of this neighborhood and I go to a place where there is nothing in my line of sight, or I find a building that is high enough that's above anything that might block my view, and I look through the window in one, you know, very high floor in that building, then I might be able to see the horizon if there's nothing else blocking my view. So one concept to think about is there may be things blocking our view. That's number one. You know, and number two, I want you to realize that the way that our horizon is formulated, I mean, or, you know, the distance of the horizon is actually from a very simple mathematical formula. And if you look it up again in the dictionary or Google, there's actually a mathematical formula for horizon. Now, I don't want to get too much into that, but there is a formula for it. And it is calculated, you know, the distance as a formula for it, you know, so, and it's related to the height that you are in. You know, it's a number times the square root of the height. That's a factor, you know, it's a mathematical expression in mathematics. You know, it's a factor. That's a factor multiplied by the square root of the height where you are, which means it's directly related to the height. So if you are at a 100-foot high, you know, then we find that, you know, your horizon is limited by that factor times, you know, the square root. You know, what is the square root of something? You know, something that you multiply by itself to get that thing. You know, so if you multiply 10 by 10, what do you get? You get 100. So that makes 10 the square root of 100. You multiply 2 by 2, you get 4. So that makes 2 the square root of 4. And so on. You multiply 3 by 3, you get 9. That makes 3 the square root of 9. I mean, just some simple examples. So if I'm at a 100-foot high location, and I'm not making this up. You can look it up on Google. My horizon is based on this factor, that's some factor, 1.22 something, times 10. You know, and that distance is in miles, really. So maybe I can see out by, you know, 1.22 times 10 miles, whatever it is. So maybe I can see out maybe 10 or a little more miles if I'm at 100-foot high. Now consider if I go much higher and so on. So the higher you go, even mathematically speaking, the greater, you know, that distance to the horizon that you can see. Now, if you think of that in spiritual and faith terms, you can see that that's actually very interesting. It means if you can elevate your faith, then you can see more. You can see farther out. Praise the Lord. So these are just some basic, concepts that I wanted to put out before we get into the spiritual applications. So the basic concepts, concept of limit, concept of horizon. Now let's talk about the concept of push. But these are the things, you know, that we are talking about. And then we're going to apply these concepts to our spiritual lesson today. So what does it mean to push? You know, there's also a dictionary definition, several dictionary definitions for push. Let me read some of them to you. It's actually interesting. One says, exert some force on someone or something, typically with one's hand, in order to move them away from oneself or from the origin of the force. You know, so you can use your hand to push something. Okay, so that's one simple illustration. Push, you know, just thrust that thing away from you. Okay, so now that's one definition of push. Another one, it says move forward by using force to pass people or cause them to move aside. I love that one. And these are actually natural definitions. It's not necessarily spiritual at this point, just natural. Push your way through a crowd, you know, kind of like, you know, how the woman with the issue of blood was pushing her way through the crowd, you know, using force to pass by people or cause them to move aside, push through the crowd. Okay. Now, these are simple definitions, but What about the spiritual connotations behind this? You know, now, you can also use the force of spiritual arms to push aside things that are blocking your view, number one, so that you can see better, right? So you can, you remember it says you can use your hands to push, you know, that cause something to move away from you. That's one definition. So you can also use spiritually, your spiritual arms, you know, if you have that concept, to push things out of your way. Hallelujah. You know, David was a man that understood things like that. He would say, well, you know, I mean, the Lord teaches my hands to war, my fingers to fight. You know, I can run through troops. I can leap over walls and things like that. Well, can you do that? And, you know, so can you push your way through the things that are blocking your view? That's number one. Can you elevate yourself to a higher height so that you can extend, you know, your line of sight? That's number two. And so these things are what we want to consider in this lesson. Now, God gives us some examples in the Bible. I'm just trying to make this simple so everybody can understand it. God gives us some examples of how he invited people to do exactly that, you know, to push old limits to new horizons. So some familiar scriptures in this area that we want to talk about, which has to do with line of vision. This one scripture has to do with line of vision. And you heard me refer to it multiple times. This story is in Genesis 13. After that, the Lot and Abraham, they had a falling out because of various things. You know, their companies fighting over various things. And so Abraham said, look, it doesn't look like this place is big enough for two of us. Let's separate. You go this way. You go whichever way. You pick out whatever direction you want to go. You pick first, and then I'll go the other direction. So Lot came out. He looked at what looked very green and what looked very, you know, inviting to the eyes with natural possibilities that's a fertile land. He picked that. And Abraham said, well, the Lord be with you. And so I'll take the one that doesn't look so good. You know, so now that's an interesting story by itself, even without connecting it to this lesson, because Abraham was the one that brought Lot along in the first place. He was just being kind to him. God never told him to bring Lot along, but I mean, he was his nephew and Lot's father died. So Abraham kind of just took him in. And so, you know, brought him along. Now, when the time comes when there is strife and so forth between their companies, Abraham actually deferred to the man who he brought along to pick first. I mean, isn't that amazing? You know, that's amazing that somebody would do that. And of course, the other one, you know, instead of being humble and say, oh, no, you know, I'm here at your pleasure. You are the one that should pick first. He was greedy. You know, he looked at everything that looked better and he picked that section. Abraham said, well, that's okay. I'll take this one. You know, so now, and the Lord was looking at all that, you know, so, and the Lord said to Abraham, so let's pick up. That's where we pick up the story in Genesis chapter 13. After that, Lot was departed from him. He said, God actually waited for that. Because see, God called Abraham alone. He was the one that brought Lot along. That didn't work out. So now he's back to the position that God wants him to be. Remember when we were dealing with the repair series? You know, we talked about, you know, possession and position. And God had to put you in the right place. God's going to bless you, but you've got to be in the right place to get the full blessing. And sometimes the right place is separating yourself from the things that are blocking your view removing yourself from that situation or pushing those things aside. And you know, all these things are what we have seen in the dictionary definitions today. You know, in this particular case, well, God was going to intervene. He looked at the situation and God's going to bless Abraham because of what he did and allowing Lot to choose first. But here is what the Lord said to Abraham. You know, he said in Genesis chapter 13 and verse 14, the Lord said to Abraham, his name was still Abraham at that time, after that Lot was separated from him, lift up now thine eyes and look from the place where thou art. Well, if he's in the tent, he can't see anything. So he's got to come out to the open. Basically, come on, let me show you something. It's basically the way the Lord said it. If you want to amplify this story, that's how you would say it. Abraham, come out of your tent. Come and stand here. I want to show you something. Now, what do you see? And Abraham might say, well, you know, I mean, I see this and that. I say, well, you don't see far enough. Get away from all those things that are blocking your vision. Come out over here where you can see further out. And say, okay. And so he has to find a plains, you know, and used to be plains in those places, in those days, you know, or maybe go up to a hill somewhere so that he can see further out, because there will be some trees or whatever blocking his vision. He won't be able to see anything. So you're either going to have to remove yourself from the situation where something's blocking your view, or you're going to have to go higher up above those things so you can see farther out, you know, over and above them. And so that's what happened with Abraham. And finally, God said to him, when he was in the right place where he could see more, because you have to see more. So God said to him, lift up now thine eyes and look from the place where you are. See, now, the place where you are is not the place where God wants you to stay. If God wants Abraham to stay there, there will be no need for this illustration that God is giving here. He said, well, from the place where you are, I want you to look out, you know, and look northward. I mean, this is 360 in every direction. Northward, southward, eastward, and westward. Just look. But God brought a very interesting concept here. For all the land that you can see. That's right. That's what I will give you. Now that is so important. When God says something like that, it's so important for you to catch what God is saying and do it like he says. So important. If God says, well, all you can see is what I will give you, then if you only see little, you will only get little. And because God said it, it's kind of like a carte blanche. God has given you a blank card. Whatever you can see, that's what I'm going to give you. Now, you got to push out what is limiting your vision then, so that your horizon can go farther out. Because God said, whatever you see, as far out as you can see, is what I will give you. That's an interesting concept. And so, that was what the Lord said to him. Now, we bring that to our spiritual application. You can already get where we're going with this. Is what I call, see more, get more. And, you know, people can put limits on themselves. You know, I don't know why we do it, but we just do it. You know, we just do it. And the Lord has other stories in the Bible that he wants us to expand our horizon. And in some cases, he actually gives a point blank instruction to do that in a way. You know, let's read what he said to Joshua when it was time for them to go in and possess the land that God had been promising the generations even ahead of them. You know, from Abraham, God had been promising this thing. And here's what he said to Joshua after the death of Moses, servant of the Lord, in Joshua chapter 1. It came to pass that the Lord spake unto Joshua, the son of Nun, Moses' minister, saying, Moses, my servant, is dead. Now, therefore, arise and go over this Jordan. Yeah, well, okay. Now, that tells you, again, that God is saying, you can't stay in this place. You know, God was always saying that. He said it to Moses and his the crowd that was with him. He said it. In Deuteronomy chapter 1, verse 6, he told them, look, you have dwelt long enough in this place. You got to move and capture new territories. He was always trying to get them to do that. You know, he told them that in Deuteronomy chapter 1, verse 6. He told them the same thing in Deuteronomy chapter 2, verse 24. He said, look, you got to get up and go forward and engage. We talked about that yesterday. And capture more territories. You got to push yourself. Now he's saying this to Joshua. He said, you know, I want you to go over this Jordan, you and all these people, to the land that I will give you. Right? And he gave him a declaration here. Powerful stuff. Every place that the sole of your feet shall tread upon, that I have given unto you, even as I said to Moses. Well, now that's an instruction. There's a hidden instruction and understanding in that, you know, statement right there, that you've got to keep moving. If you stand in one place, then God will give you that place. But that's all you will get. You got to move to another place, because he said, every place that the sole of your feet shall tread upon. You know, so you can't stand in one place. You know, you get this one, you acquire this one, then you got to move and acquire the other one. But when you acquire the next one, don't give up the grounds that you already gained. Now, that's very important. You know, it's not bouncing around. God doesn't want us to bounce around. You know, you do this thing, then you bounce to that thing, then you bounce to that thing. That's not what God is talking about. God is talking about, you grab it, it's in the bag. And while it's in the bag, you grab something else, and that's also in the bag. So that's very important. It's not a matter of you do this, you do this, you start one thing, you don't finish it, you jump to another thing, you don't finish it, you jump. No, that's not God. You finish what you start. We read that yesterday, or at least I quoted it while I was praying, you know, when he said, you know, the hands of Zerubbabel, you know, have started the building of this house, and his hands will also finish it. You know, so that you can find in Zechariah chapter 4, verse 9. God doesn't want you, it's not a matter of jumping around. This, where your soles of your feet tread upon, it's not jumping. You start one thing, you don't finish it, you jump down. No, no, no. You acquire that thing, and you gain more. See, it's gain more, not lose and then start over. No, you gain more. So this is the concept that God was introducing, and say gain more. And even in spiritual things, we see that, you know, even in how we develop our faith and stuff, you know, some of the apostles, they wrote about these things. And we have to see that this is a concept that is developed throughout the scriptures. For instance, in the book of 2 Peter chapter 1, we see some statements starting from verse 5, you know, to about verse 8. It said, look, besides this, giving all diligence, add to your faith. It's not, look, you can't throw away. See, this is spiritual maturity. Spiritual maturity demands that you keep and take with you what you already learned and acquired when you are going to newer or greater heights. Not throw away. It's like when we first came to the Lord, we learned simple things. By grace are you saved through faith. You know, It is the gift of God and not of yourselves. You know, this kind of thing. Ephesians 2, 8 and 9. You learn those simple things. You learn simple things like, you know, forgive, you know, and so forth. And, you know, and all these simple things that we learn. And then all of a sudden, sometime we get to the point where we're now into mysteries. You know, we're now into mysteries and so on. So, and then we leave these basic things. No, that's not what God is saying. You gotta carry those things along. You see? And that's why you find that Jesus, in all his lessons, he wasn't always trying to use great big words that people couldn't understand. It's just simple words. You know, natural words. He would talk about bread, stone, egg, fish, rain, house, foundation, farmer, plant, tree, and all these things. Yeah, he would just use those words because he wanted people to get it and add to your faith. And Peter said, add to your faith virtue, and add to virtue knowledge, and add to knowledge temperance, and so on. You know, don't leave behind what you once had in order to gain something else. That's not progress. That's just bouncing around. You know, so progress is, you know, you gain, you conquer a territory, you put your banner there. We talked about setting up our banners the other day. You put your banner there. Then you move on. Annex another one. Get some more. Put your banner there. Don't, you can't give up that one which you already had. You know, the kingdom of God is like this parable. Let me tell you a parable. The Lord told me this parable one time. You know, I love parables, so he speaks to me in parables. The kingdom of God is like a parable. And this parable is, you know, it's like the kingdom of God is like a man that is climbing a flight of stairs, you know. And there is a landing. You climb a, you know, a flight. Like in my house, you know, go upstairs. It's two flights, you know. There's a landing. You climb about, you know, 8 steps. And then there's a little landing. And then the thing bends this way. You climb another 7 steps or something. Now, you know, as you are climbing, the kingdom is like when you are climbing. The climb may be steep. It may be tedious. It may be whatever. But there's a little respite. And it's a little refreshing, a little resting sometimes. That's a little landing. Catch your breath. But you pick something up there. You know, you just pick something up. You pick something. It's like a jewel. You pick it and put it in your bag. And then you actually think that you are there. But you look up, you find out, oh my goodness, I got more to climb as a kingdom. And then when you start to climb, if you drop the thing that you picked up at that landing, you got to go back and get it. And that's why sometimes some of us had to go through the same thing more than once because we didn't learn what it was we were supposed to learn. You know, so you go back. It's like you're going to school. You didn't pass the test for that grade. You got to go back and take that grade again next year. You can't move forward until you pass the exit exam for that grade. Then you can move forward or you have fulfilled all the requirements, whatever it is, whether it's an exam or requirements or whatever. But if you don't, then you don't. You got to go back and do it again. And that's the kingdom. And as you are going, you know, you're putting these things that you're picking up at each of those landings and you're putting them, carrying them along. Well, if you drop anything, you got to go back and get it. And, you know, you never can really see the end of the stairs. All you see is the next set of stairs, the next flight. And then when you climb that one, you think you're there. And when you pick whatever you're supposed to pick, and then you look up, you realize, oh my God, there's still more. There's still more to climb. And that's it. You know, that's how it is. But you can't drop anything that you picked up along the way. You gotta keep it. Drop it. You gotta go back and get it. You know, so this lesson about where your feet gets and I give to you is not about, it's not about bouncing around. It's not a yo-yo thing. You go here, you lose it. You go there, you lose it. No, it's see more, get more, and keep more. Keep what you get. So God told Joshua that, but you got to move. You can't stay in one place. You've been in this place long enough, God told Moses, you know, in Deuteronomy 1 and 6. You got to move out and conquer more horizons, more territories and so forth. Praise the Lord. So, you know, that's applying the concept. This concept must apply properly. Now, sometimes we may have to really push, because God said that in Isaiah 54. He also said that in Deuteronomy 2 and 24. He said, look, he's not going to give it to you easy. You're going to have to contend with him in battle, right? Contend with him in battle. And, you know, so let's make sure we don't lose sight of that. In this process of trying to gain more, it's not going to be easy. Let me read it to you again. Rise ye up, take your journey, and pass over this river. Behold, I have given these people into your hands, the land and so forth. Begin to possess it. Now, you're not going to possess it right away, but you are going to begin to possess it. If you know, because you are going to meet obstacles, and you got to push, gain. And as you are pushing, well, you know, the army is blocking your way. You got to conquer them. The more coming, conquer them. And then you're expanding your gains. As you are pushing, you're pushing. They're trying to stop you. When you defeat them, you gain that ground. More will come. You push them. You gain that ground and so forth. But he said, you're going to have to contend with him in battle. God already knows this. He's telling you. They're not going to just go in there and they're just going to lay down, surrender and everything. No. Gonna have to push and fight. And that's why we talked about the rules of engagement yesterday. Now, in Isaiah chapter 54, God point blank gives us more lessons on this concept of pushing. You gotta push. You know, push yourself, push limits, push obstacles out of the way, you know, do whatever it takes, expand, you know, and enlarge. And here's how he puts it. In Isaiah 54 and verse 2. Enlarge the place of your tent. And let them stretch forth the curtains. You know, habitations. You know, that's your limitation. You put this tent. You know, you build this thing. And that's where you are. Enlarge it. You know. Spare not. Lengthen thy cord. Strengthen your stakes. You know. Reach out. Believe more. See more. Extend. Gain more territories, for thou shalt break forth. Now, this is a promise. If you do it, you're going to break forth on the right hand and on the left hand. You're going to break forth. The sky is the limit, as some people say. You know, break forth with no limits on the left and on the right. Do it. But you can't do it by sitting down in one place. You know, so you got to do something. You got to, you know, be motivated, get up, arise up, take your journey, you know, go over this place, contend with him, push out, lengthen your stakes, strengthen your, you know, cords, do all of these things. And then you break forth on this side. You know, now this is what the Lord is telling us. Praise the Lord. So that's the concept of push. Now, things may start small. It doesn't mean that they must remain small. You got to keep pushing and understanding that these things can increase. We're going to talk about that when we get to the next lesson. You know, but here is something that God told Job in Job chapter 8 and verse 7. Well, it wasn't God telling Job. It was, you know, some statement that we read in Job. Let me just put it that way. There's something in Job that God is telling us. Let me put it that way. You know, that he says in Job chapter 8 and verse 7, you were actually one of the friends, you know, people around Job that was saying his name was called Bildad the Shuhite. But anyway, here's what he said in Job chapter 8 and verse 7. Though thy beginning was small, yet thy latter end should greatly increase. Now, the should there is, well, this is what you expect. You know, you got to expect more. You start small, and I call it small beginnings, greater endings. Well, why will it be greater? Because you keep pushing. You know, you got to keep pushing. You got to keep pushing. We go to school, we push. Parents push their kids through life. Because otherwise, some of these kids don't want to do anything. Some of them are motivated, some are not. You got to push them. And when you go to grade school, you go to middle school, you go to this and this and this, you know, high school, college, postgraduate, and more. Keep pushing, keep pushing. You can push yourself even for more. You get one degree, you can get another. I mean, you can expand your horizon, you know, but, you know, God is instructing us, you know, not to just sit in one place, but to push yourself that way. So that's a lesson about push. Here are some things, you know, again about something that starts small, that all of a sudden gets bigger. And you got to see that vision that, you know, you can start something small and it can get bigger. In the book of Isaiah chapter 60 and verse 22, you know, there's a prophetic declaration here that everybody should grab onto. You know, it says, well, a small one will become a big nation and a little one a thousand. Let me read it to you exactly the way it says it. Here in Isaiah 60 and verse 22. A little one shall become a thousand, and a small one shall become a strong nation. I, the Lord, will hasten it. It's time. So, you know, but there's a promise behind that. It's something that starts small. You got to keep pushing and keep believing it. Now, actually, God, that's the way it was in God's mind from the beginning. He put this in, you know, all the things that he created, like the tree and the seed and so forth. He put a blessing inside those things to increase. You know, he said that, like, it's, you know, the seed bearing tree, I mean, the seed bearing fruit within itself and so forth. Genesis 1:12. Let me read it so I can quote it exactly the way he said it. You know, that he put that thing in it, the ability to increase itself. He said it, the earth brought forth an herb yielding seed after its kind, and the tree yielding fruit whose seed was in itself. You know, after his kind, he already put the blessing inside of it. The capacity to increase. It was already put there from the beginning. Because that's how God wanted. And he said, increase. That's what he said. Even to the man, when the man came. He said, be fruitful and multiply. You know, not just be little, be great. Praise the Lord. You know, so God said these things. You got to push. You got to do more. You know, and Jesus himself, he told, you know, several parables like that. You know, the parable of the mustard seed. You know, Jesus told it. He said, look, in Matthew 13, he said, you know, the kingdom of heaven is like a small mustard seed, you know, which is the smallest of all the seeds of the earth, right? But when it is grown, it becomes a great thing, you know, a great thing. You can see, you know, him talking about it. And then it fills the whole earth, you know. So let's look at how Jesus talked about it. It starts small, but it has a capacity to increase. And because it has, you know, remember, God already put it like that. Had that capacity to increase, and it will always increase. You know, it's a small seed, he said at first, in verse 31 of Matthew 13. It's a grain of mustard seed, which a man took and sowed in his field. Now, it's indeed the least of all seeds, but when it is grown, it is the greatest among herbs and becomes a big tree, and everything, you know, birds and so forth come and lodge in it. So that capacity to increase, you know, to increase, to multiply. And that's a concept of God. He doesn't want us to just be static. He wants us to increase, multiply, reproduce, do all these things, you know, and get more, see more. Now, these are some of the things that God has already told us in the scriptures, you know, but you got to do something. There's a story in Luke chapter 5, you know, and I like to refer to this story when I tell these kind of lessons. This was the story of Peter and his fishing friends, fishing all night and catching nothing. Until Jesus comes there, and they washed out their nets, packed in everything, and they're giving up. But Jesus comes there in Luke chapter 5 and verse 9, and he makes this dramatic statement. He says, you know, launch out into the deep, you know. So now, don't stay here on the shore. You know, don't, you know, because they already came back and put their boat on the shore, washing out their nets and packing up everything. And Jesus said, then you got to go out there. You know, you got to, you know, expand your scope. You know, expand your limit. You're limited by, you know, you're not going to catch anything here. And you go back out there. And Peter started to say, well, Lord, we already done that. Been there, done that, but got nothing. And the Lord said, do it again. That's right. You know, do it again. But this time, I will give you instruction and strategy. You know, and then you tell him what to do. When you go on this side, cast your net on this side. You know, and so, but you got to go out. Got to launch out into the deep. You know, my goodness. And when the Lord said that, and I said this, you know, at the church, I said, as soon as the Lord said that, all the fish that were in the lake or sea or wherever they were, they heard the voice of the master. And every one of them was rushing to that side that Jesus pointed to. Because the creation obey his voice, you know. They obey him. So everybody, all the fish are rushing to that side. It's now left for Peter to go in for the catch. The fish is already obeying the voice of the master. They heard what the master said, and all the fish are rushing to that side now. It doesn't matter whether the fish was nowhere before. Peter said, look, we've been out there. There was nothing. The fish are not hungry. They're not biting today. Jesus said, well, do it again. Now, the voice of the master in the inspiration is what causes the expansion. But you have to follow his instruction. We'll talk about that next lesson. But when he launched out and did it, there's another lesson to be learned in Peter's reaction. Because he said, master, we've done that all night long. And as soon as he was saying it, and we have caught nothing, see, he was already discouraged in his soul and everything. But immediately, as he was saying it, he realized that this is the master that is talking. And he said, nevertheless, at thy word, I'm going to do it again, just like you said. You know, and I've often spoken about it and said, look, you got to come to those nevertheless moments. As you know, there's a lesson in every little story that's in the Bible. The nevertheless moment there is found in Hebrews chapter 4 and verse 12. The word of God, which came out of the mouth of the master, and the word of God, which you read in the Bible, the word of God, which you hear, such as on this platform, and so on and so forth, the word of God, which the Holy Spirit himself might speak directly to you, that word has the capacity and the ability, you know, it says, to separate between the soul and the spirit. It was that separation that came in that nevertheless moment that Peter said. Well, in his soul, he was discouraged. But he said, nevertheless. So the word of God is quick. and powerful and sharper than any two-edged sword, piercing even to the dividing asunder. When your soul is distressed, when your soul is famished, when your soul is discouraged, when your soul is, you know, I mean, all those soulish emotions are in the soul. Well, the spirit latches on to the word, and there's a separation. There's a nevertheless moment. The psalmist, he put it this way. He said, well, you know, what time, what time I am dismayed, afraid, and discouraged, I'll encourage myself in the Lord. I will hope in his word. You know, so you use that word to bring that separation. Praise the Lord. Now, that is how we use the word of God to help ourselves in any situation that we're in and create, you know, a, what you might call a nevertheless moment. Praise the Lord. Psalm 56 and verse 3. What time I am afraid or discouraged or whatever, I will trust in thee. In God will I praise his word. And I will put my trust in him. And I will not fear what any flesh can do unto me. That's right. You know. And I'm going to push through. I'm going to fight. Because God has enabled my hands to fight. My fingers to war. And I mean all these things. My hands to war. My fingers to fight. You know. They can come out against me like bees. But I'm going to push all of them down. You know, he had this concept in his mind that he was a winner. And he was not going to let anything block his way. There are some things God will do for us. You know, like God will say, open the gates, let the gates open, let the righteous nation go in. God has declared it. You know, God, his word can go and break barriers. You know, cut down the gates, break the bars of iron. The word of God does that. But there are some things that we must do on our own. We must have this concept. Psalm 118 verse 10 says, all nations compass me about, but in the name of the Lord, I will push them out, push them down, destroy them. You got to push. They compass me about. Yea, but in the name of the Lord, I will destroy them. They are compassed round me like bees, but I push them down, quenched like the fire of thorns, and I destroy them, you know, and so on. So he had this confidence that he can do these things. Now here's what Paul said in Philippians chapter 4 and 13. You know, he was talking about all the, you know, the things and the challenges that he's been through. You know, sometimes up, sometimes down, sometimes this way and that way. Sometimes a lot of plenty, sometimes some lack, sometimes whatever. But in his mind, he is already determined that none of these things will move him. You know, whether he's up or whether he's down, whether he's this or that, you know, it doesn't matter. You know, because he said, look, I have learned and I'm instructed to be full and to be hungry, abound and be one, whatever. And he said, I can do all things through Christ, which strengthens me. Now, this is a man that can push through anything. Push through anything. Say, look, I even fought with beasts. I did all these things. You can push through anything. Can you push through anything? Can you do all things through Christ that strengthens you? Can you believe God for more today? Get higher and higher in the Lord. And when you raise your faith, your line of vision increases according to the formula for the horizon. You got to push down the things that are blocking your view. You gotta come out to a place where you can see more, be in the right place to see more. But you gotta believe for more. More. Dream bigger dreams. You know, and so forth. And then put it into action. You know, the visionaries that have helped us in that science advancement and everything throughout the history of this world, they were people that believed and dreamt more and thought more. You know, and they know that they could do and accomplish more. And God already put that ability out there, you know, put it out there. Said we should subdue things, you know. So whether you are, it doesn't matter whether you are a believer or not. Once they latch onto that concept, they can do it. But most of them were believers. But you can do it. Praise the Lord. So that's our lesson today. Let me wrap up what we have said today. Is that in this epic series, the letter P is for us to push out old limits, artificial limits that we put on ourselves. And don't stop, you know. Don't stop when you can get more. Praise the Lord. There is a story in 2 Kings chapter 13. Let me close with that. I'm going to read that story to you. 2 Kings chapter 13. A story about Elisha had a lot of things that he did. And, you know, some really remarkable things and so forth in his stories. But let's read this story. An engagement between him, you know, and, you know, one of the kings. You know, at that time, Elisha, he was sick and he was about dying, but he was still helping, you know, the kings that were around him that, you know. And so and this one king came to him and visited him while he was sick. And Elisha was going to tell him something, you know, to help him against their enemies. Syria was their enemy at that time. He said, well, so here's what Elisha said to him. You know, this was the king of Israel. He said to him in 2 Kings chapter 13, you know, and verse 15, Elisha said to him, take bow and arrows. And so the man took bow and arrows. And he said to him, put thy hand upon the bow. And he gave him step-by-step instruction. And the man put his hand on the bow. You know, then Elisha put his hands on it also. That's to put a blessing on it. You know, now he said, open the window eastward. And he did it. And so he gave him step by step. But he's putting his hand on the man's hand. And put a blessing on that thing. Now he said, open the window. He opened it. And he said, shoot. Now, this time around, when he said, shoot, though. See how he has guided him. But he didn't tell him how many times to shoot. He just said, take bow and arrows. And now he said, shoot. You got into the place. You positioned yourself. You opened the windows. And now he's telling you, shoot. And then the man shot. And here's what happened. So, and he said, look, you're going to proclaim something to him. An arrow that you are shooting is going to represent the Lord's deliverance. It's called the arrow of the Lord's deliverance. Deliver you from your enemies. And you will smite them. Told him. So the man took the arrows. The prophet prophesied the word and put a blessing on it. And this is the victory that you're going to get. It's going to be illustrated in the shooting of these arrows. And so the man, he took the arrows and he smote the ground 3 times and stopped. You know, and the man of God was angry with him. He said, why did you stop at 3? Why didn't you shoot 6 or 7 or 8 or even more times? You got more arrows still in your pouch there, you know, quiver. Why did you stop? And he said, well, because you stopped at 3 instead of going on to 6 or 7 or 8, well, you're only going to have 3 victories against the Syrians. And the man didn't know that the thing was, it was in was prophetic. He said, well, you know, you should have shot 6 or 7 times, and then you would have completely vanquished them and destroyed them. Now, that's a lesson for us, you know, that look, why stop at 3 where you can get 6 or 8 or whatever? Push yourself, do more, think more, and see more. Praise the Lord. So that's our lesson today, the artificial limits that we put on ourselves sometimes. You just think that you can't do it. You can't do better than that. This is all you can get. This is all you can do. No. Get those limits out of there. You can do more. You can see more. You can believe God for more. You know, trust God for more. Jesus told the man in Mark chapter 9, verse 23, he said, look, all things are possible to him that believeth. But it's only possible to the extent of your faith. That's it. You can't do beyond that. You know, it's according to the power that's working in you. Ephesians 3:20. Well, It's according to the level of your faith. And God can exceed it a little bit, but he can't exceed it too much. Because even Jesus could not do miracles when there was no faith. So believe for more. And God can do more. If your capacity is only to give, I gave this illustration before. I say, if your capacity is only to count to 1,000, then if somebody's talking about 100,000, a million, or billions, you won't even have the capacity to comprehend it. You've got to enlarge your comprehension so that you can count more and understand more and get more. Praise the Lord. I'm going to pray over the room. That's our lesson for today. This is the P in the EPIC series. Yesterday we did the E, which is the ENGAGE. This is the P in the EPIC series. And even though I've given some of these lessons here and there, putting it together in a series. And then, by the grace of God, tomorrow we're going to cover the I, and then after that we'll cover the C. So let me pray over the room right now. Father, I thank you for the word of God that has gone forth. It cannot return void. And as many as who take this word, run with it, and make the vision plain. You know, don't couch it in any mysteries. Just lay it out there plainly, so that they may run with it and understand it and run with it. Lord, we've laid it out plainly. May the Holy Spirit expand it into the minds of those who have listened on here this morning and those who may listen later. And the Lord strengthen your hands, you know, to war, your fingers to fight. The Lord make your feet like hinds' feet and cause you to have the mind to push, the mind to enlarge. You know, cause your vision to enlarge and increase, your faith rise by the hearing of the word of God. You know, let faith rise in your heart to believe God for more. All that you can see and believe is what I can give you, saith the Lord. And if you can increase your horizon, remove the limits that are preventing you from seeing more, and believe for more and see more prophetically, then you can have more, saith the Lord. Father, I thank you. Lord, this is the year that we are going to push. We're not going to be lazy. We're not going to fold our arms. A little folding of the arms, a little slumber, so shall thy poverty come like an armor suddenly. But no, we're going to be bold. I'm going to go out there and do all things in the name of the Lord. For I can do all things through Christ that strengthens me. Thank you for the promises that though we may start small, it's going to be great increase coming. Yeah, thank you for all the lessons that we have learned today, that we got to keep moving, you know, keep getting more and keep gaining more territories and keep holding on while holding on to what we already gained. We give you, Lord, the praise and give you, Lord, the glory. In Jesus' name, amen and amen.